time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by Big Ass Fans. Ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca.
Roundtable time for this Tuesday, the 23rd of February. Joining us, political reporter for the Globe and Mail's Ottawa Bureau, Marika Walsh. Hello, Marika.
Hi, guys.
And so psyched we could have him back so soon. Damon Kwame Mason is the director of the award-winning Black History documentary Soul on Ice, past, present, and future, also an NHL consultant. How are you, man?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I am well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's start off with a conversation about what we were just talking about. Tiger Woods, we're going to know a little bit more in about 13 minutes' time. Hospitalized after being involved in a very serious single car accident in Los Angeles today. Kwame, we'll start with you. I mean, when you hear a story like this, Tiger Woods, as Jay was saying, you know, with his kid, a guy that got him into the world of golf to watch golf and to, you know, kind of be hooked on being involved in it. I've certainly watched him since the beginning, and, you know, you stop everything on a Sunday sometimes if you know Tiger's anywhere near the lead. So hearing this today, it's jarring.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, regardless of his Tiger Woods or, you know, anybody that's in the public eye, your first thoughts are that they're going to be okay. I haven't seen the pictures, but from what I've heard, a couple of friends of mine have called me about it. They said it didn't look really good. And it's just good to know that, you know, he is in surgery right now, and I'm sure he's getting the best care possible. And so the first thing that, you know, from myself is just hoping that, you know, he comes out of it okay. 45 years old, you know, a couple broken legs, that, you know, could be the end of his golf career. But, you know, you never know what can happen. But the first things first is that he's okay, that he can go back home to his kids.
Yeah, it's interesting, Marika, because a lot of people went right away to the thoughts about Kobe Bryant, of course, an athlete we lost around this time last year. When you hear about a high-profile athlete, and, you know, in this case, it looks like speed. We'll know more from the authorities in just a few minutes' time. But in the case of Kobe Bryant, a tragic, tragic accident that took his life, I think a lot of people thought, oh, no, not again.
Yeah, definitely, oh, no, not again. But also just Tiger Woods has been such a captivating and gripping athlete, and also just personality, right, in our lives for so long. And so I just think that the attention to his future and to how he is going to be very intense. And, you know, you really just hope that that it goes okay. It's really tough to, like, see this just weeks after, or just days really after they announced the surgery and that they had concerns about whether he would come back in April. I don't know. I think it's just a very intense moment.
In a report on a new survey released today, People for Education saying that school principals have essentially become responsible for acting as liaisons with local public health units. They're implementing new COVID-19 policies. They're contact tracers, they're screeners, they're translators of rapidly changing government policies. In short, they're a bit stressed out. It found that 57% of them surveyed from virtual schools reported their levels of stress were not manageable. 49% of those found in-person learning in hybrid schools said essentially the same. So are we surprised, Kwame, that teachers and principals are sort of taking on more duties than ever before? And do you think that, you know, it's good for principals to step up and do whatever they can?
Yeah, not surprising. I've always said that as a society, we do not respect and give the proper tools to higher education. I think with all that's going on, you know, the teachers and principals should be considered essential workers. They should be getting their vaccinations right away, just as nurses and anybody else does, because these are the ones who are going to be taking care of our children and their education. I think as a principal guy, I mean, it's their building. They should step up and do what they have to do to make sure that their place is safe. But at the same time, they still do need that assistance. And, you know, the government should be doing a better job for them as well. And the stress level is going to be high. I've heard some pretty jarring stories. You know, I know of a teacher in Mississauga. She committed suicide This is not a joke for these teachers and the stress levels that they're going under right now. And I think as a society, we have to do a better job to make sure that, you know, their job
right.
is taken care of properly, you know?
Yeah. And Marika, you know, I wonder if teachers as well as principals, you know, are waking up in the middle of the night yelling 6 feet apart, 6 feet apart, 6 feet apart. Because it's just, I mean, we've all been around school grounds. We've all been around little kids. It's not exactly easy to get them to do stuff.
No, it's not easy. And it, I think this report really underscores the stress they're under, but more broadly, it underscores how short staffed we are in so many of these key areas, that so much is falling on principals because there are not enough support people around to help with, you know, organizing logistics of how to keep distancing in these small spaces and all these other elements, that it just all kind of falls onto one person. And it really is, you know, a reminder of that, I think, that there is a bigger issue going on here with our ability to respond to this pandemic.
This is just stupid, to be honest with you. Toronto police reported two more incidents of bottles thrown from buildings, marking three times in 3 days that they've had to respond to such complaints. If this wasn't super dangerous, I would kind of just, you know, laugh at it and think, what the hell is wrong with people? But it is dangerous. And last night, Toronto police reported to another incident, this time at Richmond and Richmond and Shepherd Street. There was one at Richmond and Bay Street where people were throwing food and water bottles off these buildings. Kwame, is this a case of the chair girl phenomenon where if we talk about it too much and popularize it too much, you've got other people that think that this might get them famous, or is it something different than that?
I hope not. I think it's just, you know, the times we're living in right now, people are bored, unsupervised, maturity level is unsupervised. And, you know, it's just a shame. And it's one of those things where you almost want to look at these people and just be like, you know, what's wrong with you? It's not even funny. It's dangerous. Like, is this something that you'll do until somebody dies? Is that what it's going to take? And that's just, honestly, I'm not surprised, man. Like, people nowadays do not shock me whatsoever with the stupidity and the lack of empathy around other people that, you know, is happening nowadays. So, yeah.
Marika, I kind of put this in the category of Jack Wagonry. I hear this stuff all the time, and I just think, you know, can we not just be better? Like, are you sitting up on that balcony thinking to yourself, you know, what happens? Like, does anybody have any empathy anymore? It's like, what happens if I throw this off and it hits somebody? It seems like no one's asking that question.
Yeah, nobody's asking that question. I guess I'm just trying to see the glass half full and hope that these are just bottles falling off the balcony that were left on a balcony and not somebody actually throwing it. But I don't know. There's not, it's not something that should be taking up police resources right now. Let's just say that.
Let's spend a couple of minutes on something we teased all show, and then we had to actually do this, and we'll do it now. Spoiler alert. The following is a spoiler alert. If you don't want to know what allegedly happens at the end of The Bachelor this season, just take a moment to dip out of the show.
Just get yourself
just,
gone.
Just go for a couple of minutes. You can come back. I don't watch this show. Ryan actually does. I know Kwame. I know Marika. You're both super surprised because I'm the guy you'd think would watch it, but I'm legit not. Now, Matt James, the show is over. There's two episodes left. They will air. And we're hearing from online sources that Matt James does pick Rachel Kirkconnell, who has been in the middle of controversy for what were perceived as racist actions, including her attending an antebellum-themed plantation party. Now, what we're hearing is that Matt James didn't know about the scandal until it broke, and he essentially watched it live on TV, and now he's saying that the reports are saying that relationship is no longer. And one of the things we were talking about today, Kwame, is, you know, imagine being in that position, the position that Matt is in, as a black man, the first black man on The Bachelor, and this is the woman that he proposed to, and then he gets this dropped in his lap watching it on television, or, you know, reading it on his phone one morning.
Yeah, I'd have been out too, you know, because, you know,
I'm out.
Like, yeah, I'm out. You know what I mean? Like, that, like, people got to understand that history, what that's about. Uh-huh. And, you know, I heard that they said, you know, the host had made a comment that, oh, well, that was 6 years ago or however year. I don't care if that's 10 years ago. When you go to something like that, that's something deep embedded. And, you know, okay, maybe her views are changed, but what's scaring me is that, you know, if they were to carry on having children. How are you going to explain that to your child? Then also, what if you get into an argument? You get into an argument with a woman that has that. I'm just waiting for that N-word to drop, and that's going to be even worse than anything else. So I don't watch the show. My girl, she watches it, and it's funny because she was talking about it last night, and I looked at the girls, and I said, her? Oh, with those two? I was like, all right. I don't think the issue is with the girl. I'm like, the issue to me is with Matt. That's my problem.
Yeah, Marika. Even if you could forgive or look past something like that, then you get there's QAnon stuff.
Ugh,
Marika.
QAnon stuff with Rachel.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That too.
Man, you guys are way more in the loop on The Bachelor than I am. I'll just say that.
So you know, here's the question, Marika. I'll pose to you that we posted to everybody listening today was, you know, something like that. Anything that comes up to that level, you know, does that become a deal breaker, or could you try and if you love someone enough to get past something like that?
I think it obviously for this person is a deal breaker, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
And you know, I think hats off to him for doing what appears to be doing this before the show even airs. I would assume that comes with some consequences maybe for him and his contract. I don't know how those things work behind the scenes, but I think that he is leading with his values and what matters most to him. And that's what counts. I think there's lots of questions for the show and in the response from the host and how the host defended her. And, you know, hopefully there's some accountability there.
Yeah,
and can I say one more thing? Can I just say one more thing about that, though?
Please.
I don't watch it, but I just got caught looking at it. And I saw the little one-on-one he had with that girl's father. Like, come on, man. Did you want to get into that family? Like, he just looked like he wanted to bring him in the backyard or something like that. So
it was bad news all around.
I saw that. I go,
Kwame, Marika, we thank you both. Have a great night.
Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Guys, thank you.
Appreciate that.